Good morning.
Good morning.
Have a blessed Christmas to you all, to all of you. I remember the song of Andy Williams. It said, "It's the most wonderful time of the year." Question. Is it 2020 is the most wonderful time of the year? This year, 2020, has been a challenging situation for all of us. The pandemic has given us no choice but to adjust to the new normal, wearing face masks, wearing face shield, social distancing, and wash your hand within 20 minutes, 20 seconds. It's a Yuletide season once again, and it's a time to ponder upon the grace that is the greatest gift for humanity, which means Emmanuel, God is with us. In Psalm 45, verse 8, said, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, is slow to anger, and rich in love." Let's watch this short video clips from movie Jesus, how this verse in Psalm 45:8 reflect the grace and compassion of God.
Then everyone went home, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early the next morning, he went back to the temple. All the people gathered round him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman who had been caught committing adultery, and they made her stand before them all.
Teachers! This woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. In our law, Moses commanded that such a woman must be stoned to death.
Now, what do you say?
They said this to trap Jesus so that they could accuse him. But he bent over and wrote on the ground with his finger. As they stood there asking him questions, he straightened up.
Whichever one of you has committed no sin may throw the first stone at her.
Then he bent over again and wrote on the ground. When they heard this, they all left, one by one, the older ones first. Jesus was left alone with the woman still standing there. He straightened up.
Where are they? Is there no one left to condemn you? listen again.
We can see in this video that our Lord Jesus Christ is gracious to the woman who commit adultery. The more we understand His grace, the more we understand who God is. We all experience the grace of God, but what is grace? There are three definition of grace that I will tell it to you. It said, grace is unmerited favor. That's the first. Then the second definition of grace. Grace is a God's favor towards the unworthy. Then the third meaning of grace is God benevolence on the undeserving. I believe that God's grace is the source of all our blessings. Let us stand and read the Word of God in Ephesians 2, verse 5 to 10. Even when we're dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In acoustic fashion of grace, we define grace as a grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Let me share to you another acoustic way to describe grace. The Bible tells us grace is a gift. So let's go to first letter, letter G. Letter G means God's gift to me. Grace is a God's gift to me, to you, to everybody, to believers and to non-believers. In Romans 3:24, said, all of us need to be made right with God by His grace, which is free gift through Jesus Christ. That's why I underline a free gift. I am wondering as of now, why some people don't want to accept God's grace. It's free. So let's go to Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God. Question: who is the giver? I think you know already who is the giver. God is the giver of this gift. Then question again. Why you don't want to accept it? Two things that you need to accept that we can see it here on these passages. Number one, it's a free gift. Grace is a free gift of God to us. Number two, it is the gift of God to us. So salvation is a gift. Salvation is not based on your performance. Before, I believe that going to heaven, I need to do good works. But my good works cannot save me. And that's the time that I know that I need to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. And that's the start that I have a gift of salvation because I accept Him as my Lord and Savior. Through Jesus Christ only, you will be saved when you accept Him as Lord and Savior. Now, when there is a giver, there is a receiver. Who is the receiver? The receiver is the one who accepts Christ as their Lord and Savior. So Savior, that will lead us to the next letter, which is R. R means received by grace, received by faith. So grace is unmerited favor to God that you cannot buy it. You cannot earn it, but you can receive it because God is so glad to give it to us. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it said, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." I underline through faith and gift of God. Through faith only in Christ Jesus that we receive it. And it is gift of God to us. It is gift of Jesus to us. Not based on our work. So let's go on Romans 4:16a. So people receive God, promised by having faith. This happens so that promise can be a pre-gift. We can see it again, pre-gift. If there's a pre-gift, now, the gift is available to everyone. So let's go to the third letter, letter A. Letter A means available to everyone. Grace is available to everyone. Grace is available for me. Grace is available for you. Grace is available to others. Now, question, why Jesus people choose by God, chosen by God? What is the purpose in choosing, choose you by God? I think you know the answer of those things. God choosing the Jew in the purpose to spread the message of God. So let's go to Romans 16b. It said, the promise is not only for those people that lives under the law of Moses. It is for anyone who lives with faith like Abraham. He is the father of us all. So the point of this in Romans 4, verse 16, it is for everyone who lives with faith. We're talking on available to everyone, okay? We can see it. It is for everyone who lives with faith. Let's go to Romans 10, 13. If grace is available to everyone, in Romans 10, 13 it said, for everyone who call in the name of the Lord will be saved. So I underline again, everyone. So if we go to Christ, if grace is available to everyone, let's go to the next letter. Next letter is letter C. Letter C means come to Christ. Why do we need to come to Christ? We need to come to Christ because He paid the price of our sin. Because Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Why do we need to come to Christ? There are three things that we need to know to come to Christ. Because Jesus is the way. Because Jesus is the truth. Because Jesus is life. That's why we need to come to Christ. Because He is the only one who paid our sin. Let's go to John 1:17. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So we need to come to Christ because the grace and truth came only through Jesus Christ. There is a lot of other verses in the Bible that I didn't put it on the PowerPoint. And I will read it to you. That's why you need to come to Christ. Based on Romans 5, verse 15b, it said, many people receive God's gift of life by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ. We need to come to Christ because the gift of life and by grace, it's only on Jesus. And there's another verse in Hebrews 9, 15a, it said, for this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. So we need to come to Jesus because He is the mediator of a new covenant. So if we need to come to Jesus, we need to come to Christ, so we need to go to another letter of grace. Let's go to letter E. Letter E means extended throughout eternity. It means eternity. So grace has no limit. Grace is higher than the mountain. Grace is wider than the ocean. Grace is greater than our struggle, fault, and trials, and all our sins. Because grace is eternity. Well, he said, God's grace is infinite. There is no end. The grace of God is there is no end. So let's go to Romans 6:23. The passage tells us like this. The payment of sin is death. But God gives us the free gift of life forever. And this Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, extended throughout eternity, the grace of God is extended throughout eternity because gift of life is forever. You can see it in Romans 6:23. That's why I underline, gift of life forever. Let's go in John 10:28. This passage said, God said, I give them eternal life and they will never die. And no person can steal them out of my hand. So I underline again, I give them eternal life. So eternal life is forever. I underline also, will never die. Once you see it, will never die, it's eternal. It's forever. So eternal means no end. Before I end my message, I would like to share to you Romans 12:6-8, and I will read it to you. For we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in the proportion of his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. I have a two question to all of you who are here. First question. As a recipient of God's grace, what is your accountability in your family, in your church, or in your community? Second, how will you show grace to others as a manifestation of God's grace to you?